Welcome back to Conversations Different, a podcast from the Santa Fe, New Mexican, where we discuss the interesting people and issues of Northern New Mexico. This is Inez Russell Gomez, and this week we are previewing one of our city's newest festival, one that focuses on the power of story. The Santa Fe International Literary Festival is entering its third year, and with us today to discuss the festival is Carmela Padilla. She is an author, journalist, and expert in all things Santa Fe, and one of the people who helped bring this festival to life. Welcome, Carmela.
Thank you, Inez. Great to be with you.
It is wonderful to be here, and in the issue of full disclosure, I think Carmela and I have known each other, we won't say how many years, but for a number of years.
And maybe a number of decades,
if we're being fully transparent. That's true, but not more than you can count on one hand.
That's right.
Before we talk about this year's festival, tell us how this wonderful event came to be. A lot of smart people helped it, you know, birth it, basically. Who are they, and how has the festival evolved over the first couple of years?
Well, as you mentioned, we're now starting our third year. In 2021 was our first year, and it was really the brainchild of Claire Hertel and Mark Bryant, married couple, deep experience in the literary arts and communications in Santa Fe and beyond, who happened to be friends of mine. And you know, they were sitting around with some other friends talking about how the one festival in a city full of cultural events that didn't exist here was a literary festival. And it was kind of a no-brainer because New Mexico, of course, has deep literary roots going back to just spoken word, oral traditions of indigenous peoples who've been here for thousands of years, hundreds of years of Hispano oral tradition. Then you get into the written tradition and just layers and layers and layers of authors and literary events, or should I say literary expressions in New Mexico and in Santa Fe over time. So it was kind of a no-brainer. I was invited into the fold, have worked for the last two, well, actually since the last 3 years, but more intensively the last 2 years on the project. And it's evolved. It's gotten very big very quickly. It's, I like to say, a beautiful monster. Mm-hmm. As many things that happen in this town, sometimes you just say, oh, wouldn't it be great if we did this? And then you do it, and you're not really sure if people will come, and they come. And this people have been very responsive and really excited about this.
One of the things I remember is the first festival happened right in the midst of kind of coming out of COVID.
Yes.
And there were people in masks. There were huge rooms, you know, listening to someone like Margaret Atwood speak, which was like one of the highlights to this day of my life. I just was so thrilled that I got to see her in person. And I remember how happy we were to be together while still being a little nervous.
Yes. Yeah. It was really, it was touch and go, honestly. And in fact, the festival would have happened earlier and had been sort of scheduled to be earlier, but then there would be another, you know, surge in the epidemic or the pandemic, and we would have to just really put the brakes on again and start over. And so it so happened that the first advantageous date on the calendar was late spring in May. And it actually ended up being a perfect time because it really sort of kicks off the summer season of cultural events. I think it's ideal.
Right. And one of the things about Santa Fe is that there's a summer season, then there's the high season. And we all know that when the opera gets in town, it goes into high gear. And Native Treasures was something started about a decade or so, no, 20 years ago. Gosh, I'm old. That kind of pushed back to Memorial Weekend.
Yes.
And now this pushes it back yet another week. So you have a longer window for people to come and to enjoy Santa Fe and for locals to enjoy it as well.
Absolutely. And it has turned out to be an ideal time.
One of the things, you know, going back to the idea of Santa Fe having a literary tradition, talk about some of the specifics, because I think people know about the opera. They, you know that we have fabulous art markets, you know, folk art, Spanish market, Indian market. They know that there's lots of galleries and painters. But if you say, tell me books about Santa Fe, or who lived here, who was a writer, they might not be as aware. And I think this brings that to the forefront.
Yes. Well, I always like to start, you know, pre-written word, of course, with the indigenous cultures that have been here for thousands of years, having their oral traditions. Then you have a new population of Hispano traditions, Hispano residents, who brought in traditions like poetry in Spanish language, corridos, which are songs, but really which are written verse, and actually started more of a chronicling of history and story. And then, of course, when we think about New Mexico being settled, and let's say with the advent of the railroad and new populations coming in, we often think of artists, but we don't think of writers. So
exactly.
There were as many writers who were coming here as artists, you know, visual artists. So at the time, in the early 20th century, you know, people were here like Willa Cather, you know, taking inspiration from the Southwest, writing her classic book, Death Comes for the Archbishop, based on the story of the building of the cathedral here. People,
and maligning poor Padre.
Yes. People like Widder Binner, an incredible poet. Yep. People like Alice Corbin Henderson, who was married to William Penhallow Henderson, who was a great painter and architect and furniture maker. She was a poet. Mary Austin. But you also had Hispanos, Fabiola Cabeza de Gilbert, who was writing in the early 20th century.
They Fed Me Cactus.
Yes, local authors.
Yep.
Ruth Laughlin, The Wind Leaves No Shadow. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've always had this incredible mix of new voices and voices of people who live here as well.
One of the things that I think is so, you know, impressive about the newness of this festival is not just that it's gotten big in terms of people coming, but the people you've had as authors to come, because it really honors the literary tradition here, the oral tradition, the written tradition, but then it goes and connects us to the bigger world, and not just the country, but internationally.
Yes, yes.
And I think that's just an incredible curating of names and voices to be here.
Well, it really speaks to the level of exposure that Santa Fe has, you know, just as name identity, just period. You know, mm-hmm. We are still a really small town, not as small as when I was growing up here, but, you know, we are still a small town, but we have a big reputation. And so we have a reputation that is international. And so when you ask an author, we had Colin McCann last year, who's a great Irish author. He lives in New York part of the year, but do you want to come to Santa Fe? People already know, you know, the story of Santa Fe. They want to be here. So many authors that we're privileged to have, who are high-level authors, internationally acclaimed, are coming here because they've never been to Santa Fe or they want to come to Santa Fe, which says a lot about our town.
No, it does. I know when I was at the New Mexican a million years ago the first time, and when I was looking for a job, I said, boy, if I had been at any other little paper in the country, I would have written the obituary of, you know, some nice lady who cooked. And instead, I got to write George O'Keefe's obituary. And, you know, that was a very helpful clip to have in my book, because so much happens here that you don't expect for a small town.
Well, absolutely. And not only Santa Fe, but northern New Mexico, and by extension, all of New Mexico. So, you know, great writers who we've had here are no longer with us, who you could say you became friends with because you wrote about them or you got to know them through the literary festival. You know, I will say I was so honored to get to know Scott Momaday,
right,
who we just lost this year, partly through the literary festival, partly through my writing activity. Tony Hillerman, you know.
Former New Mexican editor.
Former New Mexican editor, my professor at UNM, which I'm just proud to say. Rudolfo Anaya, you know, people who also have major international reputations who chose to be here.
Yeah, I met John Nichols when they were filming Milagro Beanfield War, and we stayed friends ever since. And when we lived in Taos, seeing him out and about hiking was something that happened almost every time we went out in the woods. It was really, you know, just one of those wonderful friendships that you have and then you pick up as you go and you save your letters and hopefully get to see them again. And I didn't get to see him again after we left, so I was very sad about that.
You know, John Nichols was somebody I always wanted to interview and meet and never had the opportunity to. And it was just so many opportunities that I had. Actually, I pitched stories about him over time. They didn't get accepted for one reason or another. Didn't get to write about him. Stanley Crawford, who we also lost this year.
Yes.
You know, who was a dear friend, you know, so we're just, it really is an embarrassment of riches in terms of the people who are here, who have a voice and who have a vital voice, and also the people that we draw from far away.
And on that note, we will take a quick break. And like we always do, Carmela, we ran over. We'll be back in a moment with Conversations Different.
Different. Thanks, Inez. This is Patrick Dorsey, publisher of the Santa Fe New Mexican. We hope you're enjoying this episode of Conversations Different with Inez Russell Gomez. Great local content is only possible with a talented staff dedicated to bringing you the best local content possible. For that staff to do its work, we need your support by subscribing to the Santa Fe New Mexican. If you're already a subscriber, thank you. And if not, there's never been a better time to subscribe. In addition to our home-delivered newspaper that comes with full digital access, we also provide digital-only subscriptions for SantaFeNewMexican.com. We'll also be releasing more online-only audio and video programming moving forward. The Santa Fe New Mexican has been here for nearly 175 years, and we want to continue being your source for local news and information. Visit us at SantaFeNewMexican.com/subscribe or call us at 505-986-3010. Thank you.
It's a new day in New Mexico, and the doors to boundless opportunity are open as tens of thousands of New Mexicans reach higher to pursue a dream, broaden their horizons, and retrain for a better job. With the New Mexico Lottery and Opportunity Scholarships, you could build yourself a better future anywhere in the state. You put in the hard work, we'll help with the costs. For eligibility details, visit reachhighernm.com.
We are back talking to Carmela Padilla about this year's Santa Fe International Literary Festival. And so let's talk about this year's festival. It's May 17th through 19th. I know there's a website with a somewhat ungainly title. It's sfinternationallitfest.org. People can go and get information. And if that's too long, just Google Santa Fe International Literary Festival. But what's going to happen this year?
Oh my gosh. Well, once again, we have about 30 separate events over 3 days. Kickoff opening night on Friday, May 17th with Jesmyn Ward, who will be in, you know, who's a Pulitzer Prize winning author. She'll be in conversation with Tracy K. Smith, who is our former U.S. Poet Laureate.
Oh, wow.
Which is going to be incredible. And Tracy will also have her own session during the weekend. Kicking off the evening will be our own Lucy Tapajanso, the inaugural Poet Laureate of the Dene Nation, and somebody who is a local, known to many, an incredible poet. I mean, we've got so many highlights. I'll just talk about the evening sessions. Julia Alvarez on Saturday night, you know, legendary.
Yeah.
Anne Lamott on Sunday night, Anthony Doerr on Saturday afternoon, yeah. All the Light We Cannot See and Cloud Cuckoo Land. I mean, extraordinary. Also, extraordinary local talents of, you know, Hampton Sides has a new book out. He will be with us. Doug Preston has a new book out. He will be with us. Jen Chaplin and Jamie Figueroa will be talking about memoir and essay. Mm. Arthur Z, you know, National Book Award winning poet who lives in Santa Fe, will be with us. Bill Dubuis. I mean, we've got.
River of Traps is still one of my favorite books. He's written a billion others that are wonderful, but gosh, I love that book.
And he will be in conversation with John Valent, talking really about climate change and forest fires. John Valent has an award-winning book out. I'm blanking on the title, but about wildfires, something that we're all dealing with.
One of the things that I think will be fun for people who kind of merge their culture, who like movies and who like books, is that some of the writers of Oscar-nominated films are going to be here. You've got David Gann, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Kai Bird, right,
yeah.
Who wrote the Oppenheimer book that the movie was based on.
Yes, David Gran.
Gran, that's right.
Sorry to correct you there. But
no, that's good.
David Gran, yes, whose film is in the news now, Killers of the Flower Moon, but he's got a new book out called The Wager. He'll be talking probably about both. And then Kai Bird, the Oppenheimer book, which the movie was made out of, will also be with us. And he'll be in conversation with James McGrath Morris, who also lives here and a wonderful biographer.
Yes. And he was the president of the local Presswomen's Club.
Yes.
So he gives back to his community as well.
He really does.
Yeah. I like the way you have the conversations, because it kind of elevates it from an interview to a discussion, which then I think
goes on to spark other discussions. And one of the things I like about the focus is that you bring smart people, interesting people, passionate people together who disagree maybe on a lot of things, and you learn from each other.
Right, right. And I think that says something about literature, says something about books. It's a place to find common ground. You know, there's so many different subjects that you can explore, and you may not, you know, see eye to eye on politics or environmental issues or even what's the best fiction, but actually having exposure to people who's have elevated the craft of writing to such high standards and high levels of quality. I mean, you can't help but have this collective sense of just being drawn to those people. And I think that's really wonderful.
One of the things that strikes me in this world where everyone is like basically nasty to each other, you know, there's this great deal, like if you're diverse, you're lowering standards. Oh, you're woke, you're whatever. And here you've got a festival that has writers of every color, creed, background, nationality, male, female, you know, whatever. It's all there. And it elevates the quality and it elevates the discussion. And it seems like this is a model for how to approach the idea of diversity.
Absolutely. And I think we've got an advantage because we're in a community that is grounded in diversity. I mean, of course, we've got our differences. We're not really tricultural, despite the myth. But,
yep.
You know, but still, we've got a sense of openness. And that's one of the things about the literary traditions and just about the landscape of Santa Fe, I think, and northern New Mexico, is that we've always been open to new voices, new residents, different perspectives. And what I have seen at the festival in the last few years is that oftentimes you'll have all this diversity of authors, and there will be a theme that emerges out of all these different types of discussions. And last year, for instance, so many people said to me that they felt like these talks reflected empathy, like we really needed to have empathy for one another, whether you had agreement or not. And just because everything was so diverse, but you could always find the human element and the common ground there in these conversations. The other thing about having these conversations that I think is really cool is it's very comfortable. It's not like academic, wonky, let me give you a lecture.
Right.
It's two people talking, you know, who may have never met before, but to have some kind of have common ground in terms of their backgrounds, what they write, what their expertise is. And it's always very conversational and very friendly.
Yeah. I know that people, the ones I have been to, people enjoyed them a lot. They asked good questions and they were talking on the way out, like, guess what we just learned, and, you know, and sharing what they thought about it.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I love that the festival has also sought to partner with local groups. There's a number of tickets that are provided for people who maybe couldn't afford to go otherwise. But you also do partnerships with a library and with schools. And can you talk about kind of how you're impacting the community other times of the year?
Well, we're working on that because, you know, we're still building the organization.
Right.
Ideally, eventually, we will have more of a year-round presence. In the last few years, what we have had are, you know, students coming to the festival, some teachers meeting with authors, school groups from like New Mexico School for the Arts, community college, and elsewhere coming and either maybe presenting poetry or just taking part in the sessions. This year you mentioned the free tickets. We've actually doubled the number of free tickets that are available to New Mexico educators. So it not only Santa Fe educators, but educators from all over the state, teachers, librarians, students, other people who may not be able to attend this, you know, if it were not for a free ticket. And, you know, we're giving away 1,500 free tickets this year. Last year we did 700. We're really upping the ante there because I really feel personally, as do my colleagues, that, you know, we are in a community where we need to actually provide access and get people to come downtown to a place like this and feel like a literary festival is a place for everyone. So that's happening. We've had a longstanding partnership with the Santa Fe Public Library over the past 3 years. This year we'll be partnering with them on their culminating evening for the Big Read. It's a 5-week community-wide reading session of a book that's chosen by educators. And their final event is on May 16th. And it will be this year at the Convention Center on the Literary Festival site. We're sharing our space with them. We're providing AV for them. And it's a community, free community event, and we're expecting probably 600 people to participate in that.
Oh, that's exciting. So it's really instead exciting. Of gathering to have a big fight or watch something, you're going to gather to talk about books and reading and kind of savor the written word.
Absolutely. And, you know, literacy is such an important topic in this state.
Yes.
And more and more as we grow, we want to actually gain more partnerships with organizations that are promoting literacy, find ways to, you know, to dovetail on their efforts and also to elevate our own efforts, because it's really something that is so accessible and should be accessible.
Yeah. As I always told my kid, people who don't read work for people who do. And that wasn't nice, but he was a slow reader once upon a time. Anyway, on that, we will take a quick break and we'll be back in a moment with Conversations Different.
Join us on a journey of compassion and community at the inaugural Walk for a Hug 5K community event. Proudly presented by the St. Vincent Hospital Foundation. Set your calendars for May 18th via Linda Park, starting bright and early at 9 a.m. We'll share in the joy of community, health, and well-being, walking side by side for a common purpose. Bring your friends and family to multiply the joy and the impact of your contribution.
We are back with Conversations Different, talking to Carmelo Padilla. And let's take a little tour away from the bigger literary festival and just talk a little bit about you, because you are a Santa Fe native, deep roots. You've been here since the boat got here, I guess it was a wagon, in terms of your family. How did you, growing up, you know, a little girl in Santa Fe, decide to become a writer?
Well, it wasn't that automatic. I always read these things where people say, oh, I started writing stories when I was five. I became a reader first, really. My mother was a first grade teacher who did not want me to learn to read too early because she thought I would get too ahead of myself. But I had siblings who were in school reading books, and I was just drawn to the written word. And so I was 4 years old, and I had taught myself to read, basically.
That's why we get along.
With the help of my brothers, and every once in a while saying to my mom, you know, could you, you know, tell me what this word is or help me with these sounds? And literally, I did read by the time I was four. And she was worried about it because she said, you're going to get to school, you're going to read already, and all these other kids may not be reading yet. You're going to be bored. You're going to be a troublemaker. And I was. You know, I started running away from school in first grade because I was like, these kids are just learning their ABCs.
It was boring. At North Public in Las Vegas, what they did is they made me teach everyone else to read.
Uh-huh.
So they really put me to work in the classroom as their helper, and it kept me busy. And, the problem kind of with early literacy is that you start to think you're really smart, and then everyone catches up and you find out, yeah, you're not that smart.
Well, that ended up being the strategy with me. The only way they got me to go back to school was then the principal said, how about you help some of the other kids, you know, and sit with them. So then you thought you were a big girl and teacher. So anyway, I came to the written word by reading, being a reader first, was an avid reader all through school. Always loved English, always, you know, took advanced English classes, but never thought I was going to be a writer because I only thought the only avenue was to be a fiction writer and then to teach college or something. I didn't really want to be a teacher. And so anyway, I meandered into journalism, and which sort of satisfied my curiosity, that aspect about me wanting to hear people's stories and then learning to write in a way that was actually sort of practical, you know,
because they pay you for it.
They pay you for it. It's a job. You learn to make deadlines, you learn to do your research. It just was a fit. And actually, that's how our paths intersect, was through the journalism world. Eventually I veered off from that and decided to start writing nonfiction books.
And you've written how many? Seven?
Seven books, I think, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, all grounded mostly in New Mexico and the Southwest, cultural history, art history. And, you know, I've been really, just really lucky to be able to do that.
And you are a Governor's Award for Excellence in the Arts winner, 2009, 1996, a Mayor's Award in the Excellence for the Arts. So you're like a big deal in terms of your influence on the state and your community.
Well, you know, I'm really privileged to be able to say I grew up here and I'm still here, being able to work and circulate in the community and hopefully have an impact and influence. You know, I really feel very strongly that if we can contribute to this place that we call home, give others opportunity, I've been very lucky to be able to be here and do it. I mean, yeah, it's not been easy. But
no, and you've worked really hard. I mean, that's one of the things that I think people sometimes we take for granted. We have all these wonderful things around us. Well, someone had to, you know, publicize and put together the schedule and you know, make sure the artists got to their hotels and all the different things that people do to have these festivals.
It's a lot of work, but, you know, my feeling is if I've got a seat at the table and I've got an opportunity to have a voice, I'm not going to decline that because it's really important to have that representation.
Yeah. No, it is, because as we have discussed so many times in the past, so many people come here and they like New Mexico, but they can't help but condescend to, you know, like, ask me, how did someone like you go to college?
Oh, right.
And become a journalist?
Right.
And it's like, like, you know, the usual way. And they don't feel it. It's not, you know, overt, but it's there.
I've had that question as well. And I say, well, you know, I grew up in a family. My grandfather was a superintendent of schools. My grandmother was, she was a county clerk. My mother was a school teacher. You know, I was grounded in an educational ethos. Yeah. And as was everybody I grew up with.
Yeah, and my mom was a waitress, but she went to college and said, I can't stand other people's children, so I'd rather serve food, you
right.
know? But it was, you know, in Las Vegas, you grew up a block from Highlands, and they just said, you're going, and it was kind of like a continuation of high school.
Right.
And because we moved, I went to another school, but it was everyone I knew went to college. That's just what you did.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really important, I think, for... Yeah, this is a very welcoming place, but I think that it's very important that when people decide they want to be here, that it's really important to learn your history, just learn the stories of this place, and talk to the people who have been here for a long time and you know, try to understand their experience.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most important things is to let the place sink in around you and seep in and enjoy it and not try to fix it or change it or immediately tell you that it's not like wherever it was that they came from.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's things here that I'd like to see change too, but you know, I think it's always a responsibility.
Yeah.
And I will say it's a responsibility for people who grew up here also to learn their history and so that they can understand what the storyline is.
Right. No, because a lot of times we buy the myth, not the reality.
Right.
And then we end up in a mess, and that's not good. One of the things about this year's festival, when I was looking at the schedule, going back to that, is obviously there's representation. You have people from all over, as you mentioned. But then you've got Ramona Emerson coming, Tommy Orange, who went to the Institute for American Indian Arts. So it's like there's this new generation of New Mexico influence and New Mexico writers that we're all going to get to meet again.
Oh, it's wonderful. And, you know, I will say IAIA especially, because I mentioned Lucy will be with us, Lucy Tapajanso. Yeah. She teaches there. Tommy Orange, who went to IAIA. Jamie Figueroa will be with us. She's from IAIA. Arthur Z was a teacher at IAIA. It's really important that we represent the talent that is here and the people who have been working in the trenches here as well.
Yeah, I think they're going to look back on this moment in IAIA's history and kind of like when Lloyd Kivanu was doing all the things that they were doing and say they're having kind of a literary moment in the culture.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's exciting and it's all happening right here in Santa Fe.
It is.
Yeah. So on that note, this has been another Conversations Different. We will be looking forward to the Santa Fe International Literary Festival. And I thank Carmela for taking time.
Thank you, Inez. And let me just say, please go to the website. There's still lots of tickets left. Please come down to the convention center and experience it for yourself. I think you'll really be pleased.
Yes. We'll be back again next week with another Conversations Different.